Amen. I'd like you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to Mark chapter 10. Just Mark chapter 10, we've try and catch up to where we've been all summer. We are doing that special series on the habits of grace, and I hope that you took time to work through those meditations and thoughts, and they'll continue to be part of your growth and devotion time before the Lord. Next week, Pastor Sam will be preaching as Lori and I will be absent on a bit of holiday. And then the 22nd of this month, Lord willing, we'll be starting our fall series on the book of Romans. I'd encourage you to begin reading now as we embark upon an arduous journey. I thought just off the cuff here, I thought about when we start Romans, the challenges that it presents and the difficulties that it will present to us as we go through it. I'm the kind of guy that I kind of set the schedule where I want to go. And so I kind of mapped out the fall and to see where we'll get. I'm not sure how far we'll get because we'll just let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. But continue to read now and study towards that end as the Lord will bless us as a congregation. But today what I want to do, coming out of Mark chapter 10, is read a few verses here. And just think about this, our kickstart, our jumpstart, our kickoff Sunday for our kids' ministry. And ask the or think about the theme of kids. Kids' lives matter. What's important about children to us in our day and age? And of course, the Word of God speaks to this in our text, Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 13. Mark records this: "People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, and anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.' And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them." Just a short section of God's word, but it helps us to wonder and ask the question about children. Think for a moment about kids in Canada and kids around the world. And what is the world doing about the concern for children? Some of you might be part of Compassion Canada or other organizations that sponsor children in developing nations. And that's a great thing to do because we see the plight of children and families, those who do not have the wonderful blessings we have in North America. We pray for them. We want to see them fed. That's great concern. There are other ministries who are out there working hard on the dealing with the trafficking of children and young people in the sex trade and other awful things that are going on in our world. What's being done for them? Well, we want to reach out. We want to care for the children. No less so when we come to the local situation in which we find ourselves here. Do we care for the children? I would concern not just for their physical needs, though those are important, but their spiritual needs as well. Is it not the cry of every Christian parent, "Lord, save my children"? Is it not the desire of every father and mother, aunt and uncle, grandparent, cousins, friends, people in the church, "Lord, do a work of saving grace in our children today"? Isn't that our prayer? We should desire that. If you're a Christian here today, you know the perils of sin, the dangers of the world that are encroaching upon our children every day, and we pray not just for their safety, but Lord, bring them to Jesus and give them life. Indeed, that should be the rally cry of all believers for the children. And we see in our text here today, and it's a good text for us to think about as we embark upon our Faith Kids ministry for the fall, because it shows us the biblical concern for children, more specifically, Jesus' concern for children. The context here in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is really bringing forth some principles of discipleship that need to be present in Christians, whether it's dealing with marriage earlier in the text, where there's a concern for divorce, whether it's our possessions in the next section. Jesus is concerned that his disciples, his followers, are becoming more Christ-like in the way that they live. And so it's a very good point that he will make then. Well, what about the children? And what I want to do this morning, just for a little while, to prep our minds to pray for the kids that we saw here this morning and the leaders and so on, is to notice in Jesus' blessing of the children a reminder to the kind of ministry that we should be embarking upon as the people of God, an intentional ministry to the lives of our children. So here's my premise statement, if you will. The ministry of Faith Kids is our ministry to children. The ministry of Faith Kids seeks, with our hearts and minds firmly planted on the foundation of the Scriptures, to see children come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and grow as His disciples, so that in all things and in all of life, God's glory will be their ultimate goal and extreme delight. Now, we could take all morning and break that down, and I have other things to say, but I want you to see two things. Notice the intentionality of our ministry to children. We don't take them for granted. We're concerned for them, and we want to see them come to Christ. But the second thing here is also, you'll notice that that premise statement, if you want to call it that, is legitimate not just for children, but for everyone, isn't it? That's the goal we have for everyone here, to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and so that they might grow as disciples. Notice, so that in all of life, in their every concern as they grow, is that God's glory will be our goal and extreme delight, that we will delight in Him. Make note of that at the outset here. It's very, very important that any ministry that, shall we say, is worth its salt, anything that's going to have value, always has the ultimate goal as the glory and pleasure and delight of God Himself. It is not the goal that we would just have kids who know the Bible, though we want them to know the Bible. It is not even the ultimate goal that we will see kids come to saving faith in Jesus, though we desperately want to see them come to the Lord. Those are all important things that we want to happen with the goal that through that, our glorious Creator would be exalted. Because that's what the Bible says. We are made to glorify Him. We are made to bring Him joy and delight. We're made to find our pleasure in our Heavenly Father. That's why I like the... how many of you know the shorter catechism, the Westminster Catechism? How many know the shorter catechism? Anybody? Okay, we have to work. Oh, Sam does. Thank you. At least my associate knows. Okay, that's good. One of the first questions there is this. What is the chief end of man or mankind? What is the main purpose of man? Does anybody know the answer? Except Sam. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So you do know it. Very good. Yeah, the chief end of man, the main purpose in life, and it's wonderfully succinct, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And so we exalt the Lord with all our being, and we enjoy Him. We take pleasure in serving the Lord and bringing Him glory. It's our delight. It's our joy. How often... when I was growing up, and my kids growing up as well, would say, I don't want to go to church. I don't like going to church. And they might be even proud, I don't even want to worship God, and say these kinds of things. Do you ever have that feeling, maybe with your kids, if you have kids, or maybe in your own heart? We don't feel like it all the time. But when the Holy Spirit begins to work in His children, and so animate their lives with grace, the joy of the Lord becomes our whole purpose in life. We can't get enough of Him. We want to rejoice in Him. And so gathering to worship as we are or in smaller groups, it becomes our great delight. Why? Because we get to come in the presence of holiness and worship and adore Him. And that's what we want from our children. And so we seek with the Scriptures as the foundation to lead children to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, truly converted by God's grace, so that they will be disciples who grow into all the delight of the Lord Himself. And so that's what we embark upon, whether it's this fall or any time of year, and that's our goal. And I want to just think about that for a few minutes as we have it this morning with that statement, as it reflects something, as I see, in the text before us in Mark chapter 10. And so go back to the text in Mark 10, and there's two lessons that I want to have here. So it's very simple for you today. You only have two things to remember, all right? Two lessons to take home with you and think about these things. But when we read this text in the life of Jesus, the first lesson is this: the importance of bringing children to Jesus. Now, there is the importance of bringing everyone to Jesus, children, middle-aged, old people, people from here. That's a general, of course, concern, but the specific nature of what I want to see here in this text is the importance of bringing children to Jesus, because that's what we have here, verse 13. What does it say? People were bringing little children to Jesus. Why? For Him to place His hands on them. They're looking for a blessing. In fact, that's what you have at the end, verse 16. He took the children in His arms, placed His hands on them, and blessed them. These people have heard of Jesus. Some of them maybe understand that He is Messiah, but they know that He's been doing some great miracles. Like any caring parent, they want to bring their children to Jesus. And that's an important principle for us. When you think about this, one of the keys to understanding is what the Bible really says about children. The Bible teaches us something about children. If you go through the Old Testament, we won't take time here, but you can do your own study in this regard, is so often in the Old Testament, children are viewed as a gift from God. They're not to be a burden. They're not a curse upon someone's life, but they're a gift that God gives us. In Psalm 127, you can read that later, but that's where God talks about the blessings on the family and a father and his children, and children are a blessing to him and his generation and so on. Blessed is the man who has a quiver full of them. You know that text? A quiver, you know, is what you hold arrows in. And so the metaphor is, you know, blessed is the man who has a quiver full of children. I'm not sure how full your quiver is. Mine's four. All right? And some of you have more than that. God bless you for that. The challenges are very extensive there. But it's the idea, you see, that children, they're a blessing from God. They're a gift that God gives us. Now, when they're up all night, barfing and having all sorts of problems, they don't really feel like a gift. Okay, I get it. But you understand the purpose here. The Scriptures see children as a special blessing. And listen very, very carefully. This is so important. This is one of the reasons, and there are many, this is one of the important reasons why as Christians we need to be diligent against the whole abortion industry. Tactfully, carefully, lovingly, but we need to understand that children, at conception life comes, and they are precious gifts from God. And we need to guard those. Do we love children? Let's guard them. Let's protect them. Let's pray for them. Let's see people one to Christ so that they will protect them as well. The point here is these are a gift from God to us. And the Bible in the Old Testament reminds us of these things. You can even kind of track that a little further. In some of the texts that talks about children and families in the Old Testament, the emotional attachment to children. When David, and through his wrong relationship with Bathsheba, the firstborn, is sick and he's grieving over this child and the child ultimately dies. The emotional attachment put upon children shows the gift of God, the love that they had for children. They're very special. When you track that into the New Testament, you certainly have that picture from all the Jewish families that it speaks of here, but in society in general, you find in the New Testament that children were basically second and third class citizens. That women and children weren't on the upper scale. They were treated like property, and they would be sold off into slavery or used for all sorts of awful things, and that's how children were thought of, similarly with women. It's interesting, when Christ comes along, he blesses women and sees them in the wonderful roles that God's given them here, and children as well. He brings the proper order in place, and so for children. And so you have here the wonderful picture of Jesus. And he loves the children. Again, notice the wording here. This is important. Go back to verse 13. Because it says here that people are bringing children to Jesus, but the disciples rebuke them. Now, rebuke, that word, it's the same word that Jesus uses at least on two occasions. You remember when the disciples and Jesus were in the boat and the storm comes up, they thought they'd be sunk, and Jesus gets up, and what does he do? He rebukes the waves. It's a very strong term. So these disciples, they're not gently just kind of shooing the children away. Don't bring those kids here. What's the matter with you? Hey, get away from here. The master is here. Get those children out of the way. That's what they're doing. They have so lost sight of what God is doing through the Lord himself. Children, get away. We have no time for them. Notice how Jesus responds. Verse 14, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. It's a word there that talks about a state of anger that's aroused by injustice. Jesus says, no, 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 no. Don't you do that. Let them come to me. It's a very striking encounter here. Very firm. You can feel the tension, if you will, that Jesus tells, no, no, no. They need to come to me. And at the very least, what it shows us here is the incredible love Jesus has for the children. And the reason I believe that he loves them so here in this specific instance is because the children are among the most needy, the most vulnerable. And Jesus came for them. There's no one to protect them. They need someone, and Jesus shows his love in them because they come with a simple faith and dependence. They need someone to take care of them. And Jesus says, let them come. So he loves them. Now, irrespective of whatever else we say here today, if Jesus loves someone, what should our response be? We should love them too. Regardless of the arguments, if Jesus says, I love them, then we as his disciples should love them as well and minister to them in whatever way the Lord can call us to do that. But I want you to notice further here in regard to this, is that Jesus loves them, but there's two principles, though, that come then to the forefront for you and I. The first is this. We need to see the importance for parents to bring their children to Jesus. Now, that sounds like a given, right? And it should be that parents want to bring their children to Jesus. But what does that look like? How does that transpire? How are we to bring our children to Jesus? What does that mean? Some people think, okay, bring children to Jesus. I'll send them to Sunday school. Well, that's a good thing to do, and we hope you bring your kids to our ministry here. But no, it goes farther to a root of that than just sending them to Sunday school. Here's what I believe it really means. If we want to bring children to Jesus, as we see in the text here, it means that as parents, as grandparents, as aunts and uncles and family members, wherever we bring children this way, particularly as parents, is that we pour our lives through the gospel into their lives so that they might come to see Jesus in us and they will run to him. The idea, you see, is that we want to instruct our children in such a way through the Word of God and through our lives that they will see Jesus in their parents, that they will see the reality of who he is through the way that we love each other and love them and minister to them. We want to bring them to Jesus. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, you have that familiar text where God, speaking through Moses, tells the people how to teach the children. Remind them of these things. When they wake up, when they lie down, when you're out for a walk, tell them these things, instruct them. And we as parents need to be instructing our children. I recall those early days in our family worship. I don't know if this is like your household, if you're a family with kids here or not. But as young parents, you know, I mean, my parents, they wanted to start off right. My dad was a pastor, and so we would have devotions around the supper table. I confess that it wasn't the place I really wanted to be most of the time, but we were there instructing God's Word, and so we try that as parents with our kids, and then all of a sudden sports get in the way and school activities, and it's kind of all over the place. Does that sound familiar for you guys? I'm not sure, and I had this discussion. I did a series on family worship in Pennsylvania this past summer, and talking with parents there. Just a reminder, two things. As parents, we want to instruct our children, yes? Nod your head if you're with me. We want them to know the Word. But there's no perfect model of doing that outside of Christ himself. Some families do it well, and they have great family worship and devotions and so on, but most people struggle with that. It's a difficult thing to get through. So here's just my little tip for today. If you want to bring your kids to Jesus and instruct them in the Word of God, take many different opportunities and ways to do it. Try and have regular instruction in your home and worship, absolutely. But find other ways. You're driving down the road. You experience a thunderstorm. Talk about thunderstorms and use that as a segue to talk about God who created these things. Find other ways of doing it and just in your whole life so that children become to see that the whole tone of our family life is all about Jesus. Now listen, some of them might reject it and hate it. But through grace, they need to see the truth so that at some point they come back to it. We want them to see the truth in us. We need to bring our children to Jesus. And that's the significance here of the words of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 and 15, Paul writes to Timothy about many things. But in that text, he says this to Timothy, "As for you, continue in what you learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it." And notice, "How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." The beauty of that is that, number one, Timothy learned the Scriptures from who? His mother and his grandmother. What a wonderful legacy, isn't it? He learned them through them, and Paul says, "You remember who you learned these from. As from infancy, you were taught the things of God." Little kids are smart. They can learn early, and we should not neglect the truth to them at an early age and entrust the Spirit of God to work in their hearts to bring them. Listen, you can't save the children, but the Holy Spirit can, and the Holy Spirit can use you as a means of grace to their lives. We take every advantage before us to do that. But the second point there, not only parents bring your children to Christ, but then churches have a responsibility to bring the children to Jesus. we as a church, and it's why it's important for children, for young people, for teenagers, for everyone else, that we are bringing people to see Jesus. I want to try and simplify things for you right now. The whole tone of the ministry of Faith Baptist Church, the whole emphasis for Les Clemens, for Sam Kachikian, for the ministry team here at Faith Baptist Church, all of what we do here is all about Jesus Christ. It's about making Him known that we might be known by Him. That's what we do. And so it should be the same for the children, for the youth, for the seniors. It's all about the wonderful, glorious presence of Jesus Christ. Now, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Isn't it? Okay, thank you. Yeah, some of you are still awake. That's good. It's rather simple, and yet there are so many entailments that come from that. So many things we work on in the ministry, but simplified, that's what we want to do. And so everything that drives us is how can we take the Word of God, which tells us about Jesus Christ, and pour that into the lives of our children so that God, by His grace, might draw them to Himself. That's the goal we have here. And that's what we see with Jesus here. Let the children come to Me. Why? So they might know Me and follow Me. There's a three-pronged approach that I try and keep in my own mind, and this is from author Sally Michael. She's done some great work, she and her husband, in children's ministry with John Piper and Desiring God Ministries. But basically, we need to instruct our children in three ways. We instruct the mind, we engage the heart, and we influence the will. We want to instruct the mind so they learn intellectually the truth that's there. We want to engage the heart because the mind thinks of something. If the heart isn't engaged, then life isn't there. And we want to influence the will. We want to see their lives changed for good. We instruct the mind, we engage the heart, we influence the will. And that's why we do these things, because it's so important to see them come into a right relationship with Jesus Christ. But now the second lesson, which really pours out of the first one. Jesus loves the children and the importance of bringing children to Christ. But notice in the text here, by using the children as an example for His lesson here, is that He gives us a lesson on what it takes to enter the kingdom of heaven. This is extraordinary. If you go back to the text, He truly loves the children. Let them come to Me. I want to bless them. We need to bring them to Jesus. But notice the reason He says that here, back in verse 14. He said, let the little children come to Me and don't hinder them. Why? For the kingdom of God, notice, belongs to such as these. It's kind of a devastating statement, isn't it? For the disciples and perhaps the intellectuals of the day, we want to know this kingdom. We want to understand these truths. And He says, bring the kids over here. The kingdom belongs to such as these. In verse 15, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will not what? Receive it. Who can't get in. Now, what does that all mean? Jesus is not saying here that we have to be like little children to become a Christian. He doesn't say we have to revert to some sort of, you know, pre-adolescent mentality to enter the kingdom of God. It's not what He's saying at all. He's using the children as a reminder of their utter dependence on others. They come humbly, without anything of their own, dependent on someone else. And that's how one enters the kingdom of heaven. Unless we become dependent as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus argues at various points about the fact that you can't work your way into heaven. You can't build your way into heaven. You must believe. Trust and obey, as the hymn says, for there is no other way. And so the reminder is that the children teach us what it takes to enter God's kingdom. It takes faith and dependence. That's what it is. If you don't become like a child in the absolute dependence upon God, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you understand that? That's what Jesus is saying here. And so if I'm a Christian, if I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, it is simply because by His grace He drew me to the utter dependence upon Him alone. Now, I don't know all of your lives here. Some of you have shared with me your conversion experience and so on. But if you're a Christian here, think about what it was that drew you to Christ, and then what it meant to become a Christian. You may not be able to articulate all the factors there, but at some point, there was an exercise of faith and a complete dependence on God by His grace to save you. Isn't that right? You didn't say, well, gee, Christianity looks pretty good, I'll try that, and somehow you're saved. No, no, no. Intellectually, you might have been drawn by many things. Culturally, it might have been something that draw you to think about these things. But when the time of repentance and faith comes, it's recognizing your dependence on Christ, your inability to do anything yourself, and your need for Him. Isn't that right? That's what it means to come to Christ like a little child. And as he says there, anyone who will not receive, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will not enter into it. The point he wants to make here is that faith and dependence are absolutely necessary in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And faith and dependence, again, you can track it through the whole scriptures. In the Old Testament, the need for the people of Israel to trust and depend upon God. Do you remember the story of the Israelites? Do you remember how often the Israelites tried it on their own? They said, forget God, we'll go trust this nation and so on. Every time, what happened? Failed. Every single time. You'd think they'd get it, don't you? You think at some point, hey, you know, this falling off after the Chaldeans and Amalekites and so on, that's not working so good. Maybe we should actually try trusting the Jehovah God. Now, God is gracious. He keeps bringing them back every time. But have you ever noticed that we are not dissimilar to the nation of Israel in that way? Every one of you here who believes in Jesus Christ would say, I believe, that your complete dependence and trust is on Him to work in and through you for everything. Isn't that right? You trust in Him. But what happens when the service is over, we say amen, we go back into the world, and as soon as you get out there, something bad happens. Are we trusting Him then? I hope so. The point I want to make here is that the proof of these things is how we respond to the various difficulties of life. Are we depending on Him alone for His grace to save us and to lead us on to heaven? As the great Jonathan Edwards said, we come to God empty and hopeless, having no wealth, power, or position through which to succeed. We are completely in need of God's grace. And that's what the children represent for us. The complete need of Jesus is not unlike what you and I have before Him as well. If you're not a believer here, I trust that you would think about that and that you would stop trying to get to heaven and put your trust in Him alone. And if we are the children of God, let's live on that dependence of Him and not our own strength as we live our lives for Him and as we instruct the children here through our ministries and whatever we do. So how do we finish this up? What do we leave this at now? Well, here's a couple things to remember just by way of conclusion. And this is encouragement, I think, as we move forward with our ministry here at Faith Baptist Church. If all of this is to take place, the first thing is that there needs to be a clearer understanding of the gospel as defined by the scriptures. A clearer understanding of the gospel. Not what everybody else tells us, but what does the Bible say? Have you ever noticed, if you're a member here or just visiting now and then, that we pay great attention to the scriptures? It's God's word that we preach and teach. Why? Because this is truth. And everything we do in life has to be filtered through the word of God. That's why we emphasize these things. And we have a clear understanding of the gospel, the saving work of Jesus Christ, as defined by the scriptures. Secondly, there needs to be an emphasis on simply presenting its truth to all ages. I'm not just advocating here that we have a great kids ministry. We want that. But we want our ministry, whether it's Sam's ministry with the youth and the college and careers, whether it's the seniors' ministry, we want all of it to be presented simply and truthfully, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that's what changes lives. That's what sanctifies us. It's the truth of God's word through the gospel to us. In order for that to happen, then, we need to have a greater dependence on God's grace. We have to actually trust God with our lives. And here's one more difficult for you, folks. We have to trust God with the lives of our children. That was very scary for me when I was a young father. God says, put your kids in my care. I got this covered. And I prayed, Lord, my children are your hands. Please take them. Amen. And then it was about half an hour, and I was trying to manipulate their lives again and order everything for them. If we believe it, let's pray it, and let's do it. Caring for our children in such a way that their dependence is on God. Is God not able to care for the lives of our children? Of course He is. Far better than you and I can. So then wisdom and grace, let's work in such a way as to teach them to be dependent on God and His grace. And all of that, as we said earlier, is so the focus might be on His glory alone. That everything we do here, everything is to move us into that pattern that God is glorified, that we truly delight in Him, we enjoy Him forever, and all those things we said, that's what we do here. Whether it's children, whether it's adults, doesn't matter who it is, that's the heart of our ministry here, so that God will be glorified. And so I'd encourage you, as we move into the fall, that you'd be praying for one another. Pray for the ministry of Faith Baptist Church, in-house with our children, in the community around us as we move forward, so that in all things God would be glorified, and we would see His grace go forward, that we would see God do mighty things for His glory. And for that to happen, let's pray to that end. Heavenly Father, once again, we marvel at Your grace and recognize our own dependence on it. Pray that You would lead us through Your word to this truth, be with our children. Encourage us as Your people to honor You in all things, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.